That is an excerpt from a work by composer Cynthia Wong. Her new composition, Memoriam, will have its world premiere later tonight. I'm Elliot Forrest, live backstage at Carnegie Hall for Orpheus Chamber Orchestra's opening night concert. Orpheus is a much-loved New York institution celebrating their 40th anniversary next season. They're a musician-led chamber orchestra formed by then-students in 1972 to perform orchestral repertoire in a chamber music setting with rotating leaders and no conductor. On Tuesday, WQXR brought you the Mariinsky Orchestra with Valery Gergiev, which was the close of their Tchaikovsky series. And now we're back at Carnegie Hall to hear Orpheus start their new season with an old friend, violinist Gil Shaham. The concert includes an overture by Mendelssohn, a symphony by Haydn, and the much-loved Brahms Violin Concerto, all broadcast live from Carnegie Hall on WQXR and WQXR.org. As you can probably hear, I am surrounded by musicians here backstage. If you've ever been to Carnegie, I'm just off stage right, about 10 feet from the stage. And as Orpheus tends to do, they tune backstage, which is what you just heard. We spoke with Gil Shaham earlier this week about his ongoing 20-something year relationship with Orpheus.
Rehearsals are amazing. It's a democratic process, you know, which means it takes a
lot. So anybody can pipe up and go, you're not doing it right, Gil.
That's pretty much what happens, you know. They're so efficient at it. They're so used to this rehearsal process. It's kind of a thrill to be a guest, you know, and just be part of it. We were rehearsing this Brahms concerto. We started rehearsing last week. The level of detail that we're able to address in these rehearsals is staggering. I'm really loving my time with them, and I always have. I hope it's as much fun for them as it is for me.
That was tonight's violin soloist, Gil Shaham. We'll hear more from Gil at intermission, and of course we'll hear him play music just a little bit later on this evening. This performance is broadcast live through the generous support of MetLife Foundation, official tour and radio broadcast sponsor of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. The new work on our program is the first of four world premieres this season, the fruits of a two-year collaboration between Orpheus and WQXR called Project 440. That's four commissions celebrating Orpheus's 40th anniversary. Starting in early 2010, a committee of established composers, musicians, and industry experts nominated 60 up-and-coming composers. WQXR posted profiles and audio samples for public feedback, and our sister station, Q2 Music, streamed works by 30 of the finalists. The four winners were announced by Orpheus on WQXR last October, and tonight we'll hear the first completed work from Project 440 by New York-born composer Cynthia Wong. Now, I just spoke with Cynthia a little bit earlier today about her work with Orpheus.
I always compose with the performers in mind, so I went to concerts of Orpheus at Carnegie beforehand, so I know the sound that they have as an orchestra, and definitely composed with that very warm, beautiful sound.
How would you describe your composing process?
Well, I began fairly young, and actually it wasn't as composing at first. It was improvising a lot at the piano. Actually, I didn't feel like writing down my ideas when I was younger. I would just improvise, and my father would record the improvisations. And then eventually my composition teacher told me that, you know, I really need to learn how to write down my own ideas, otherwise they won't ever be played by somebody else.
And how's it been working directly with Orpheus? You've come out of rehearsal earlier today.
It's been great. They sound wonderful. They really have a wonderful, fun, interactive atmosphere when they work together. And I love to just watch them interact. It's a lot of fun. They joke during rehearsals as well. So it's very lively. I really enjoy working with Orpheus.
Composer Cynthia Wong, whose new piece, Memoriam, will be premiered on the first half of the program tonight from Carnegie Hall. Also on the first half is Franz Joseph Haydn's Symphony No. 73 in D major, The Hunt, so-called because the last movement was originally written as an overture to Haydn's opera Fidelity Rewarded, which begins at a temple of Diana, the Roman goddess of, well, you may have guessed it, hunting. For the second half of the concert, Orpheus will welcome Gil Shaham in the legendary Concerto in D major by Johannes Brahms, written for his friend, virtuoso violinist Yosef Joachim. But we begin with Mendelssohn's Fair Melusina Overture. Though Mendelssohn was only 24 when he wrote this overture, by some counts, he was already a mature composer. He wrote a dozen string symphonies between the ages of, believe it or not, 12 and 14. Orpheus has recorded three of those for Deutsche Grammophon, along with several discs of Haydn symphonies, including The Hunt, number 73, which we will hear tonight. Mendelssohn's Fair Melusina Overture was inspired by a 14th century folk myth, which was the basis for Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tale, The Little Mermaid. It appeared in a novel by Goethe and was the subject of an 1833 opera by Konrad Kreutzer. A 24-year-old Felix Mendelssohn attended the opera, Melusina, and was captivated by the story, but not by the music. Rather than follow the course of the plot, Mendelssohn composed this overture to conjure up the characters, which you can pick out. There is a mermaid, Melusina, who was cursed with a fishy tail one day each week, and her handsome prince. When they married, it was on the condition that the prince never see her on Saturday. In time, as you might expect, he got a little curious and discovered Melusina's secret with dire consequences. We'll hear themes in the piece that represent the couple for Melusina, a water theme in F major introduced by the clarinets, and then a turbulent galloping theme in F minor for the prince. As you can hear, we're getting ready backstage here off stage right for Orpheus to take the stage. At Carnegie Hall, they just play a little ring and let people know to turn off their cell phones, which they have done. Orpheus is completely surrounding me at this point. I feel a little like a member of the orchestra sitting here, although I'm not going on stage. All of them will be shortly. Did want to remind you that WQXR can now go anywhere you go with our brand new WQXR app for iPhone. You can listen to radio streams and archive programs and read articles and reviews and, of course, hear concerts like this one from Carnegie Hall all over the planet. A very warm welcome, as you can hear, for Orpheus Chamber Orchestra as they take the stage here at Carnegie Hall. The Mendelssohn will feature strings along with a full Orpheus complement of winds, double flutes, oboes, clarinets, bassoons, horns, trumpets, and timpani. The orchestra is now seated for the music of Mendelssohn here on WQXR.
Thank you.
That was Felix Mendelssohn's Concert Overture Fair Melusina, Opus 32, performed by Orpheus. I'm Elliot Forrest, and if you're just joining us, we are broadcasting live tonight from Carnegie Hall on WQXR. The doors are open on stage right. Orpheus Chamber Orchestra coming towards me as I am just off of stage right as we prepare for the next piece. Next up, Orpheus will debut the first piece commissioned through Project 440, a collaboration between Orpheus and WQXR. The piece is Cynthia Wong's Memoriam, which is dedicated to her father and those whom we have lost to cancer. After Cynthia began work on the piece for Orpheus, her father, who had been fighting cancer for several years, passed away. The piece took on elegiac significance, but is also an act of remembrance. In her dedication, Cynthia honors caregivers and those who are left behind to commemorate their strength and endurance during difficult times. We talked to composer Cynthia Wong right before the concert tonight, and she told us about the inspiration for the piece, including some poetry.
The poetry is by Rainer Maria Rilke, who's an Austrian Romantic poet. These poems really spoke to me, certain lines of poetry that I took from certain poems and extracted, and then had in mind this sort of mood or emotion in my score when I was composing.
The piece is called Memoriam. It's dedicated to your father. What does this piece mean to you?
It's a very personal piece. He was such an inspiration to me. He loved music. He played piano. He played Chopin. When we were little, he would sit me on his lap.
You were born right here in New York, went to Juilliard. What does it mean to you to have a piece of yours premiered, the world premiere, right here at Carnegie Hall?
This is great because most of my other big premieres were actually overseas, so in Germany, Santa Fe, there was one at La Jolla. So to have something here in New York is very special.
Composer Cynthia Wong, congratulations again, and thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Composer Cynthia Wong, the composer of Memoriam, the piece we're about to hear, the world premiere of this work here at Carnegie Hall. I'm Elliot Forrest. We are broadcasting live from Carnegie Hall on this, the opening night of the 39th season of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. Orpheus member violinist Laura Frauci is in the concertmaster chair for this new piece tonight, as she is for many Orpheus commissions. In the program notes, Laura wrote that the challenge will be to coordinate the many pianissimo or quiet layers into a beautifully sheer texture. I hope to create a sound world for Memoriam that conjures an emotionally evocative atmosphere, allowing the listener to be transported to his or her own private space of loss and remembrance. Orpheus Chamber Orchestra taking the stage now, live from Carnegie Hall on WQXR and WQXR.org, the world premiere of Cynthia Wong's Memoriam. The Orpheus Chamber Orchestra and the world premiere of Memoriam by Cynthia Wong, commissioned through Project 440, a collaboration between Orpheus and WQXR. We are broadcasting live from Carnegie Hall tonight. Orpheus Chamber Orchestra on their feet, taking the applause from the audience, and joining them center stage is the very young composer, Cynthia Wong, enjoying the applause from the audience as well. A piece called Memoriam, tinged with sadness, mixed with hopefulness as well. And now Cynthia Wong, along with Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, taking a bow as well, with flowers being brought to the composer center stage. We'll hear the next installment of Project 440 later this year when Orpheus performs a new piece by rising composer Andrew Norman, which will be broadcast live from Carnegie Hall on December 3rd. The doors have opened here on stage right. Orpheus Chamber Orchestra coming off stage to get ready for the next piece. Coming up, Haydn Symphony No. 73. And after intermission, special guest Gil Shaham will join Orpheus for the Brahms Violin Concerto. I'm Elliot Forrest, broadcasting live here from stage right on the opening night concert of the 39th season of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. And joining us now is Orpheus member and flutist Liz Mann.
Hello.
Thanks for stopping by.
A little out of breath, but I'm here.
I love this. You play off stage, you walk right off stage, right onto a microphone. Thank you so much. What are your impressions right this very minute after hearing this brand new piece from this very young composer?
I have to say I feel a little emotional because it's a very moving piece, because she wrote this piece when her father was quite ill. And it was commissioned before he was sick, and then he was sick while she was writing it. And the whole piece ends sort of, she's also very influenced by the poet Rilke and just ascending in life here on this earth and after. And she took some one of the poems and said it from the poem and from her inspiration, from all of what she was going through at the time. And so I feel a little emotional right now because the ending of the piece is very stunning. And I feel also a little proud because it was a lot of work putting these pieces together, the new works, and we're always trying to get to another level than just getting through the piece, because it's so difficult just to learn it. And I hope that tonight we got to another place for the piece after having now performed it once already. This is our second performance.
And such a beautiful project that there are many more new pieces ahead that Orpheus will be performing in this season.
That's right. Although, the next piece coming, we still have yet to get the music, the score, and, it's sort of still the ink is wet, as they say.
And you are in the Haydn, so I'm going to let you go so that you can continue to play. Liz Mann, flutist, member of Orpheus, thank you so much for joining
me
backstage.
Okay. Yep.
Next up, music of Haydn. Haydn composed his Symphony No. 73 in 1782 for his employer, Prince Nicholas Esterházy, and it premiered at his remote summer palace on the border of Hungary and Austria, known as Esterháza. The Hungarian Versailles was home to Haydn for nearly 25 years. The symphony is called The Hunt, and it borrows many themes from other composers, including the French composer Jean-Baptiste Morin, and perhaps even from Mozart, since Mozart and Haydn met and were also friends. Symphony No. 73, The Hunt, in just a moment here, live from Carnegie Hall. Orpheus taking the stage, taking their positions, facing the audience, and taking another bow on this, their opening night season of their 39th consecutive season. Live from Carnegie Hall, Orpheus, the music of Haydn, his Symphony No. 73.
Thank you. Thank you.
A beautiful performance and a rather sheepish audience. The Symphony No. 73, The Hunt of Franz Joseph Haydn, played by Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. I'm Elliot Forrest, and we are broadcasting live from Carnegie Hall on WQXR. This is the opening night concert of the 39th season of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. Tonight's performance is broadcast live through the generous support of MetLife Foundation, official tour and radio broadcast sponsor of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. It is intermission time here at Carnegie Hall, and there's just one piece left on the second half of the program, but it's a big one, the Concerto for Violin in D Major, which Johannes Brahms composed for his friend, the virtuoso violinist Joseph Joachim. The collaboration between the two was deep. Brahms trusted Joachim with phrasing in the solo part, as well as the composition of the cadenza in the first movement. I am just off stage, stage right, as a matter of fact, live here at Carnegie Hall, and joining me now is clarinetist Alan Kay. Thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure. Hi.
You were one of the three artistic directors of Orpheus. Maybe you should explain how that works, in that there is a sort of collaborative with Orpheus.
Well, Orpheus is all about collaboration. Obviously, we perform without a conductor, so all the artistic decision-making happens among many people, and that applies to, that kind of group leadership applies to the structure, the management structure of the orchestra. So several years ago, someone came up with the idea of taking the artistic director position, the traditional position of artistic director, and dividing it up like everything else we do at Orpheus, distributing among several people. So we have three artistic directors. I handle personnel matters. That's my specific area. And we have one who handles programming and one who handles sort of general artistic matters. And then we're all involved in all artistic decision-making, along with some of our senior staff members.
So I'm still trying to figure this out. Does this mean you can give yourselves a raise when you want?
No, unfortunately. Nobody's getting a raise these days anyway.
Not this year anyway, I guess. I'm guessing almost every member of Orpheus has played the Brahms Violin Concerto in some configuration somewhere. I know Gil Shaham has been playing it for many, many years. But tonight, Orpheus has never played it with Gil, without a conductor. Why is that special?
Well, first of all, it's always special to play with Gil Shaham. He's a friend of the orchestra. We've played with him and recorded with him many times over the years. He is a special performer in many ways, besides being the brilliant virtuoso that he is. He's a mensch. He's a real mensch. And he has the right kind of inquisitive personality for somebody, a soloist who plays with Orpheus. He's willing to try anything. And he wants to get inside the piece, we feel, in a way that the member of a string quartet would get into a string quartet. So we're making chamber music together, and we're bringing out a sort of chamber music side of the Brahms Violin Concerto, and he's the perfect man for the job.
Trying to figure how far back this goes, I understand some of the members went to Juilliard with him. Were you one?
Yes, I was. I'm a little bit older than Gil, but in fact, I went back to Juilliard. I got my bachelor's and master's degrees there in clarinet. Went back to study orchestral conducting, ironically, 5 years after
to
I
end
graduated,
up in Orpheus, right?
I know.
Right? Exactly.
Well, Orpheus can really say that it's not conductorless, but made up of 30 conductors. You can really say that. And I remember one Tuesday when we had our lab orchestra, our conductor's orchestra sessions with Otto Werner Mueller, our teacher. I needed a violin soloist to do the Vinyasky Second Violin Concert. I was practicing accompanying, learning the art of accompanying a soloist. And I couldn't, believe it or not, at Juilliard, I could not find a solo violinist who knew the Vinyasky Second.
You'd think they'd be lousy with it.
Well, they all, yeah, exactly, they all know it, but I just couldn't find anybody available and willing to do it. So I was about to tell my teacher, you know what, forget it, I'll do it next week. But I thought, before I do that, let me just check the Juilliard library. Maybe somebody's up there. And I went in, and there, sitting on the couch, reading the New York Times, was Gil Shaham, who I knew a little bit, but not very well.
He'll do.
And I said, yeah. I said, he wasn't famous by then, but he was already developing a reputation, and everybody knew he was a great fiddle player. I said, Gil, what are you doing in about half an hour? And he said, oh, nothing much. I said, come with me. Bring your violin. And he played Vinyasky Second, of course, memorized perfectly with the lab orchestra just about half an hour later. It was a great thing.
Hence the mensch definition.
Exactly, right.
Now, previously, Gil joined Orpheus to play the Beethoven Violin Concerto.
That's right.
Similarities, differences between the Brahms tonight?
Well, you know, they're both monumental pieces. We've done obviously done the Beethoven many more times than the Brahms. This is our first venture into the Brahms Violin Concerto, but they have their similarities too. I mean, Brahms, of course, owes so much to Beethoven, including the key, by the way. It's very similar, I think. Although, in a way, I feel that the Brahms is more of a chamber music piece than the Beethoven. And in some ways, I'm finding it a little more manageable than the Beethoven, actually. And, of course, some violin solos prefer playing the Brahms concerto. I don't know how Gil feels about that. I think he's happy and comfortable with either one.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to it. The Brahms Violin Concerto with Orpheus just a little bit later on tonight. Clarinetist Alan Key with Orpheus, thanks for stopping
by. Thank you very much.
At the start of this program, we heard Gil Shaham talk about his long friendship with Orpheus. During that conversation, he also told us about another consistent relationship in his life, and that is with his fiddle.
This violin is a Strad, $1,699. Plus tax? You know, I can't. I think, yeah, that's the millionth time I've used. Ding, ding, ding.
It's unbelievable, really, how old this violin is. Do you have your eye out for another one, or this is it for life? You're good with this one. You will never stray.
I love this fiddle. When I first saw it, it was in Chicago about 20-some years ago. You know, I played it for a minute and knew that I wanted to play this violin. It has a nickname. It's called the Countess Polignac Strad. And the Countess Polignac was an arts patron on the court of Louis XIV. She was also very influential in Venetian musical life. She was responsible for a lot of the Vivaldi commissions that we know and love. She was the one to bring the Four Seasons out of Italy to be performed in Paris for the first time. So I'd like to think this violin had something to do with that.
Maybe have been involved in the premiere of the Four Seasons?
Possibly. You never know. You know, I used to tell for years the story that the violin, it was allegedly owned by the reputed mistress of Benjamin Franklin when he was the U.S. ambassador to France. And I used to tell this story all the time. And then I got an email about 10 years ago. Gil, please stop telling the story. It's not true. You know, so now, I don't know.
Well, who sent the email? It wasn't Benjamin Franklin's mistress that sent it to you.
And I don't know which part of the story isn't true. You know, was maybe she owned his mistress, maybe it wasn't her violin. It's really none of our business. So anyway, I don't tell that story anymore.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you didn't tell it. Just a little taste of the romantic pieces by Dvorak, played by pianist Orly Shaham, violinist Gil Shaham, who we will hear live just a little bit later on tonight, right here from Carnegie Hall. In just a few minutes, we'll hear Orpheus with soloist Gil Shaham in the Brahms. This is our first live broadcast of the Orpheus season. We'll be back with Orpheus on December 3rd when they welcome oboe soloist Albrecht Meyer and the next installment of Project 440, a new work by composer Andrew Norman, who joins us backstage right now. Good to see you.
Thank you.
How does it feel tonight? In a certain extent, you're like on deck. You know, the first batter went up. We heard this beautiful piece by Cynthia Wong tonight, the world premiere, this Project 440, encouraging young composers like yourself. Your piece is coming up. How did you feel tonight?
Well, it was really great to be back in Carnegie Hall with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra and to feel their sound in this space and to recognize again what it means to listen to new music with a group of people in a place like Carnegie. It was fantastic.
Now, are you completely done, or did hearing this, listening to this tonight, made you think, wow, I can make some changes or something?
I am not completely done. In fact, I'm frantically trying to finish. I haven't been out of the house in weeks. So, yes, listening tonight definitely did make me want to go back and change a few things in terms of how I'm dealing with the orchestra.
So this is a brand new piece that you'll be premiering with Orpheus. Tell us, do we have a name yet?
I can't say the name.
All right. Well, can you tell us anything about it?
Sure. I think the question I asked basically in this piece is, what does it mean for a group of musicians like Orpheus to play together? And I mean that in a sort of practical sense. How does a conductorless orchestra actually play together? But also, on a deeper level, how does that group of musicians make decisions about music? And how do they decide on a kind of collective expression? And so I was dealing with those kinds of issues when I wrote this piece, or am still writing this piece.
Tell us a little bit about you. You're a young composer. When did you decide that you wanted to write orchestral music or chamber music?
I've been a musician since I was a little kid, and I started writing orchestra music for my junior high orchestra.
Which was where?
In Modesto, California.
Uh-huh. What'd you play?
I played viola. It's the best instrument ever. And actually now a lot of my music is about my relationship with my viola and how do I communicate the very interesting sounds that I like on that to other musicians through notation. And so I'm super excited to work with Orpheus because they seem to be on that page too. Like, how do they interpret as a group things that they see on the page?
What does this commission mean for you? Is this a huge stamp of approval for you and your life and career?
Any commission is a great thing for a young composer. I mean, mostly I just look at these things as opportunities to try things that I've never done before. And as long as I'm experimenting and pushing myself, then that's what it's all about, really.
So. Composer Andrew Norman, your piece will be heard
December 3rd,
right here, live at Carnegie Hall. Congratulations to you, and thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Elliot Forrest here, broadcasting live from Carnegie Hall. We're at intermission. Still to come, music of Brahms with Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. WQXR is supported by Credit Suisse, global sponsor of the New York Philharmonic. Credit Suisse welcomes the 2011-12 season, led by Alan Gilbert, the first native New Yorker to be music director of the Philharmonic. More at credit-suisse.com/lesamis. WQXR receives support from Theater for the New City, presenting The Capitalist Ventriloquist, a new musical about Wall Street behavior and misbehavior, and whether a math whiz should save his father's troubled hedge fund or be a singing ventriloquist. Book and lyrics by Tom Attia, music by Arthur Abrams, and music direction by Mark Marcante. 4 performances weekly through October 23rd, including Sunday matinees. Tickets through SmartTix and the box office. First Avenue at 10th Street. More at capitalistventriloquist.com. Still to come, violinist Gil Shaham, but first here is Gil Shaham in a recording with pianist Akira Gucci and the March of the Love from the Love for Three Oranges by Prokofiev on WQXR. Gil Shaham playing music of Prokofiev here during the intermission live at Carnegie Hall. Gil Shaham joining Orpheus to play Brahms in just a few moments. The Brahms Violin Concerto, first performed in Leipzig on New Year's Day in 1879 by violin virtuoso Josef Joachim. Brahms called the middle movement his feeble adagio, but it features a blatantly gorgeous melody for the oboe, which will be played tonight by Orpheus member Stephen Taylor. The lengthy oboe solo in the second movement is renowned as one of the greatest moments for the instrument. In refusing to perform the Brahms concerto, violinist Pablo de Sarasate reportedly said he did not want to stand there on the stage, violin in hand, while the oboe plays the only melody in the piece. Clearly not a team player. The concerto begins softly but quickly builds, as in earlier concerto for piano, the one by Brahms. He did not want to compose a trite showpiece, but a musical statement. Using the Beethoven Violin Concerto as a model, soloist and orchestra are often equal partners. Earlier this week, again, I spoke with Gil Shaham about this Brahms concerto and what it really means to him.
This is a piece that we all know and love and have grown up with. Yeah, everybody's very passionate about it. It's really a very, very inspiring time to rehearse with him and go on stage and play Brahms Violin Concerto.
How long have you been playing this Brahms Violin Concerto?
I guess I was 12 years old when I got the music and started to attempt to play it, and I really couldn't get around it then. I still can't get around it. I've been trying since then, so that's almost 30 years, I guess.
I hear this from other players, that it's always an attempt, that you always feel like it's a mountain you don't exactly climb. What about it from the time you started when you were 12 until now? What have been the revelations or the changes you've made in this Brahms Violin Concerto?
You know, with a great masterpiece like this, you can learn so much. And I guess I always make the analogy of looking at a sculpture. You know, you can look at it from a million different angles. And every angle, there is something you can learn from, something you can be inspired by, something you can... There's more communication from the creator. Yeah, with this Brahms Violin Concerto, you know, I remember hearing it for the first time when I was maybe 11 or 12 years old. I had a recording of Jascha Heifetz and Fritz Reiner in the Chicago Symphony. And I just thought it was, you know, the most awesome piece of music I ever heard. And then I started to try and play it. Yeah, so many different things along the way. You know, little moments where I realized, oh, now I know why he wrote this passage right here. This relates to something that happened 5 minutes before. It's an amazing masterpiece. I think ultimately this piece is a very personal story of Brahms' relationship with Joachim, but also kind of...
The original violinist.
The original violinist.
Yeah.
But also kind of a testament to friendship in general and his idea of life alone and life with friends. And you know, after 30 minutes, it's an incredibly satisfying journey to hear this piece, starting from that lonely first melody that comes in unison without any harmony, to that final D major chord at the end of the third movement.
You normally play a violin concerto in the first half of a program, so you're normally in bed by 9 o'clock. Tonight you're ending this concert. Do you have a plan to be able to stay awake?
I'm hoping to drink some coffee, you know, and... Yeah, you know, actually, these days, bedtime is kind of difficult for me. I've been practicing. I sort of try to stay up late, and I'm trying to play Brahms Violin Concerto at 9 o'clock at night so I get used to the feeling.
Is there a difference in being there at the end of the concert? Because that's just not normally the position for a guest soloist like yourself.
It's true. It's a completely different feeling. I guess these are the last notes your audience is going to hear. There has already been a full half of music. It's somehow, I guess, in this program, the Brahms Violin Concerto ends up being the longest piece in the program, kind of the main course. Yeah, it definitely feels different. I don't want to say I feel like a conductor, but sometimes with Orpheus I get to use the conductor's dressing room, which has always been like... What happened to the conductor's dressing room?
Well, nobody else is using it that night.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you get blasé about playing Carnegie Hall?
No, never. I always get very nervous. I remember this film. There is a film, you probably know which one I mean, with Jascha Heifetz and I think it's Arthur Rubinstein. They're speaking to each other backstage at Carnegie Hall, and one turns to another and says in a heavy accent, he says, "This place always makes me nervous." And it's true. You know, there's something about Carnegie. It's the most beautiful room to make music, but it also has a tradition of great masters, you know, great composers who've played there, great violinists who've played there, great orchestras who've come on stage. And, you know, you don't want to disappoint too badly.
Violinist Gil Shaham, our soloist, in just a few moments. We are now backstage live at Carnegie Hall, about to begin the second half of our concert this evening. You can hear the orchestra, Orpheus, around me, along with violinist Gil Shaham, tuning up. WQXR is supported by the George London Foundation for Singers, founded by the late Metropolitan Opera bass baritone over 40 years ago to nurture young opera singers. The foundation opens its concert season at the Morgan Library and Museum with a duo recital by soprano Aileen Perez and tenor Stephen Costello, accompanied by pianist Ken Noda on October 16th at 5 p.m. Ticket information at 212-956-2809 and georgelondon.org. As you can hear, Orpheus Chamber Orchestra going on stage, and in just a few moments, the last musician to follow them is violinist Gil Shaham. Orpheus center stage, standing, taking a bow on this opening night concert of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra beginning their 39th season. Now, here is Orpheus, along with violinist Gil Shaham, performing Brahms Violin Concerto in D Major, live from Carnegie Hall on WQXR. Violinist Gil Shaham with Orpheus on this opening night concert live from Carnegie Hall. The Violin Concerto in D Major by Johannes Brahms. Collectively performing this piece for the first time. Gil Shaham center stage with Orpheus taking a bow to this appreciative audience on this opening night concert, the 39th season of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra here in New York. I'm Elliot Forrest, and we are broadcasting live from Carnegie Hall tonight on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR. Tonight's performance is broadcast live through the generous support of MetLife Foundation, an official tour and radio broadcast sponsor of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. Gil Shaham stepping off stage right and then back onto the stage and taking another bow and applause from this very appreciative audience. On this program tonight, we heard Haydn, a world premiere by Cynthia Wong, music of Mendelssohn, and the Brahms Violin Concerto we just heard live here at Carnegie Hall. Once again, Gil Shaham leaving the stage. Coming off stage right, just a few feet from me. Wiping the sweat from his brow and tuning just a little bit. Maybe there is one more piece on the program tonight. Once again, Gil Shaham going out on stage here at Carnegie Hall on this beautiful night in October. Many concerts still to come in the series with Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, December 3rd. Albrecht Meyer, the oboist, will be in a program called Pushing Boundaries, music of Hindemith, Bach, Mozart, and another world premiere by a young composer we heard earlier on the program, his name Andrew Norman, and another symphony by Haydn. Looks like there is an encore tonight. Once again, Gil Shaham and Orpheus live here on WQXR. Thank you. Turin Rosmarin by Fritz Kreisler, played by violinist Gil Shaham, soloing with Orpheus Chamber Orchestra on this Orpheus's opening night concert live from Carnegie Hall. Gil Shaham and Orpheus taking a bow after that encore again on this beautiful night. We'll be back at Carnegie in a few weeks for a live broadcast of the Budapest Festival Orchestra, conducted by music director Ivan Fischer with special guest pianist András Schiff, Saturday, October 29th, the second concert on our brand-new Carnegie Hall Live series, produced in partnership with Carnegie Hall and American Public Media on WQXR, 105.9 and WQXR.org. Special thanks to all the folks who helped make this broadcast possible, including the staffs of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra and Carnegie Hall, especially Leszek Wojciech. The WQXR team includes Martha Bonta, Eileen Delahunty, Aaron Dalton, and Katie Salmon. Ed Haber is our technical director, and our recording engineers are George Wellington and Noriko Okabe. Just off stage right here at Carnegie, the entire Orpheus Chamber Orchestra congratulating and giving big hugs to violinist Gil Shaham. Seems a tradition that each one stops by and says hello and thanks and congratulations and big hugs to their soloist in these concerts. Gil Shaham just a few feet from me. Let's see if we can get just a few moments of his time before we have to sign off here tonight. You should know about one more concert, also Orpheus, in February on the 11th in 2012. Jean-Yves Thibaudet, the pianist. The program called Another Time, Another Place. The esteemed British composer's music, Michael Tibbett, the Shostakovich, Onegin, and Tchaikovsky. That's February 11th with pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet. Violinist Gil Shaham joining me live here, stage right. Thank you so much for stopping by after a beautiful night of a concert. Did you have a good time?
Thank you. I had a great time. What can I say? I feel uplifted. I feel uplifted. You know, to play with these guys, such amazing artists, and there's this feeling like, I don't know, maybe it's the note conductor, but it's kind of like the teacher is out of the classroom. We have the classroom to ourselves. I hope we didn't get into too much trouble.
Well, even the staging of it becomes unique in that you're center stage. There's no conductor, so you're not really sharing. You're standing. Everyone else is sitting. I'm just guessing the sound. It's like you had the best seat in the house while you were playing, right?
So nice to just stand there, to be there while they're playing the opening tutti. And then, you know, I was getting worried, oh, I don't want to spoil it when I come in, you know. But it's just fun. It's just great fun, and I feel very, very uplifted.
And for the radio audience, no score. You've done this from memory. You've played this for decades. Why is this Brahms different than all other Brahms tonight?
Oh, you know, rehearsals, the time that we've spent together with this piece have been unique. And, you know, usually when I play this concerto, it's maybe meet the conductor on Tuesday, rehearse on Wednesday, dress rehearsal Thursday. And with these guys, you know, rehearsal is a very long, arduous, democratic process, and we started last week, and there's so many details that we've talked about and thought about, and it's great. And besides, there's such beautiful people, you know. It's like being on stage with friends and great artists, and I feel very honored to have been here tonight.
Violinist Gil Shaham, you've literally stepped off stage after playing this beautiful concerto. It's a beautiful night. You've been such a great friend of Orpheus and a great friend of QXR. Thank you so much, and I hope to see you again soon.
Thank you. Thank you. Me too.
All right. Talk to you soon, Gil. Thank you for joining us tonight at Carnegie Hall for the opening night concert of Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. I'm your host, Elliot Forrest. This is Classical 105.9 FM WQXR Newark and New York. Good night, everybody.